So many times I say that I wear this color hair as a warning. Sorry for the disruption. I'm grateful that there were words on the worship songs this morning. I'm not likely to be lynched yet. Last week was National Volunteers Week. There are about 6 million volunteers in Australia, making an estimated annual contribution of $290 billion to our country's economic and social good. Who here volunteers? When I worked in chaplaincy and aged care, Volunteer Week was a big deal. Cam, was it a big deal for you? Yeah, you had lots going on. I worked closely in that capacity with pastoral care volunteers, and we made a really big thing of recognising their contribution to the lives of others by hosting morning teas and lunches, by presenting certificates and some little gifts, and trying our absolute hardest to show them how much we value them. And I hope the organisations that you volunteer for show their appreciation. Volunteers are an essential part of aged care, clubs, schools, service groups, and those not-for-profits. Groups like these can't function without them. But I think churches can, and I think that perhaps we should. I'd love to see a day when this church does not have any volunteers. Can you turn to the person next to you and discuss this for about 30 seconds, 60 seconds? What's the difference between a volunteer and a servant? Okay, so can I offer a little bit of a summary rather than put anybody on the spot? So can I offer a summary of the difference between the two that might go something like this? A servant has a master, a volunteer doesn't. Or a volunteer picks and chooses when and either whether they serve. A servant serves no matter what. Someone said it like this. I'm not sure if you all agree, but somebody wise, I think, said it like this. The servant does what he is told when he is told to do it. The volunteer does what she wants to do when she wants to do it. Can I suggest again that the church needs fewer volunteers and we need more servants? The word servant is used in one form or another more than 1,000 times in Scripture. That means it's a big deal to God, and I think it should be for us as well. In Numbers 12:7, God refers to Moses with these words, "My servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house." Abraham, David, Job are called my servants by God. When Paul, James, Peter, and Jude introduced themselves in their letters, the first thing they did was to identify themselves as servants. Each of them tells us who they are, they give their name, and then what they are, a servant. This is fundamentally their identity, and I suggest that it's ours as well. We are called first to be servants and second to serve. Maybe Jesus didn't tell parables about volunteers because he wasn't enlisting volunteers. Instead, he told stories, parables about servants because that's what he was calling us to be. In today's Bible passage, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word often translated in our Bible as servant has nothing to do with a servant like the chambermaid or butler, valet in Downton Abbey. It doesn't look like that. The word used often was doulos, meaning slave, and it literally meant a person owned by another for his or her lifetime. When Jesus freed us from slavery to sin, he freed us to become God's slaves. While our bondage to sin meant death, our bondage to God means eternal life. For followers of Jesus, there's a big difference between being a volunteer at the church and a doulos or servant to Christ. Since they're under no obligation, volunteers never need to leave their comfort zones. They can choose their tasks and are free to decline any or all requests. Serving at will, volunteers generally use their leftover time to work and can accept a better offer whenever they feel like it. It's entirely different matter for us to be servants of Christ. Instead of choosing the tasks we are willing to do, we do the tasks that need to be done, the ones God calls us to do, even when it means leaving our comfort zone. While volunteers use their free time at their convenience, Jesus' servants sacrifice their time, often at their inconvenience, to serve him. A volunteer's commitment is temporary, but as servants of Christ, we have made a lifetime commitment to serving our Master whenever and wherever he calls us. We volunteer only when we want to, but we serve God because we need to do so. It is what we are called to do because faith and works are inextricably linked. They go hand in hand. We today live in a me-first culture that encourages us to think of ourselves first and others not that often. Rarely. We're told to focus on our self-image, our self-actualization, and to be self-reliant. Because we're saturated with messages about self, it's easy to bring this mentality to church and expect the congregation to cater to us, our preferences, our comfort. You know, that music's too loud. That music's too old. The chairs are too uncomfortable. It's too cold. It's too hot. Faith becomes all about us. God is not a vending machine dispensing blessings as rewards for our good behaviour. We need to reject a transactional faith that says something like this: if I do A, God will do B. If I volunteer there, God will bless me here. How many times do we do a transactional faith? If I pray this many times this week, from the vending machine of God, I will get my Coca-Cola. A contemporary Christian influencer, don't you love that word? I think it's like around this era, an influencer, called Carlton Kuhn, says this about the command of 1 Peter 2:16, to live as servants of God. Everyone in our church is a servant. Jesus never asked his followers to give a few hours of their day off. He did call them to give everything for the sake of the kingdom. Most church volunteers have to be cornered, coddled and convinced that their participation won't take up too much of their time. He goes on to say, the church doesn't need more volunteers to give away spare time. We need servants whose lives belong to the Lord. And you can tell that I kind of agree with this. And yet, I'm convicted. Week after week, E-News is asking for volunteers. Must we, corner, must I, must the leaders try to corner, coddle, and convince people to volunteer? It gets tricky. In E-News, you'll see a link to the Safe Church training that's coming up. Did you notice that? Okay. It happens in two parts. There's an online component, and then there's hopefully a few people gathering down with Ride Baptist Church to do the face-to-face. And we hope to be able to help people who may not have access to a computer. English may not be the first language. They might need some emotional support. There's a few people like Julie and I who are going to help. We're offering to help to do that part of things. But that's a step aside, and that kind of looks like convincing you to do something, doesn't it? So Safe Churches is a legal requirement that helps keep our church safer. A lot of this came out of the Royal Commission into abuses and atrocities that we never want to see again, perpetrated against our most vulnerable people. And so this church is sold out for that, aren't we? Some of those vulnerable people are children. And over many months, maybe years, our kids' ministry has really limped along. Recently, relying on Cindy, Pearl, Marilyn, and virtually no one else Cindy leads, she's got her helpers, and they're fabulous. And while I appreciate the skill and commitment that goes into this, does this program we're providing really reflect how we see the value of young people in God's kingdom? We have plenty of resources for kids. We've got a hall. We've got a ping pong table. Upstairs, we've got a pool table I'd like to learn a bit more about. We've got tables, chairs, pens, pencils, room. We just don't seem to have adult volunteers to mentor, disciple, and care for our kids. It becomes disheartening. It can be just as disheartening putting the roster together. Scott, we talked about lawn mowing. We're going to have to maybe outsource mowing our lawns. Even though we have the equipment, what are we missing? People power. And it doesn't seem very spiritual, does it, to mow the lawn? So maybe we just don't do it. And I wonder what that would say to our community. Oh, that's the church with the long grass. Great witness. I'm not convinced at all that God sent his Holy Spirit to give the spiritual gift of serving morning tea and doing the dishes, particularly to women. And I'm not convinced that the spiritual gift of mowing the lawns was only given to men. But I am convinced that God calls us all to serve. To serve him, to serve each other, and to serve others. Now, this message might sound a little bit like a rebuke, and it sounds really negative. I don't want it to be like that. That's not the intention. This church is small, but as Cam said last week, does everybody know the term batting above your weight, pitching above your weight? Bit of an Aussie-ism, which for a small church, there's a lot happening. So many like Cam and Sydney and the whole Phipps family over here. Alyssa, what were you doing this morning? Preparing communion. Serve so generously and so graciously. So Hands up here if you participate in ESL. Judy, there's more ESL people here. Talk to me about Friendship Club. Dorothy? There's a few here who do Friendship Club. Talk to me about the music and the tech team. Sina, you can do that. You've been doing bass at least once. Part of... yeah, put that... Okay, the spiritual gift of morning tea. Who's exercising that in the congregation here? I need you to know that following baptism and membership, we've popped Baha and Mahia on the morning tea roster. Sina is, we've just gone straight for it. Thanks, guys. Hands up if you're involved in leading prayer, Bible reading, involved in the service. There's a few here. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, there's the few mowers. I think that just leaves, I don't think we've got Lindsay here today, but that just leaves you, Scott. Thank you. What about care for others, Marilyn? There's a few around here who cook meals, who drive, who care. Okay, mission. As a church, there's many forms of this, and it's something we need to have another look at. But we've just finished May Mission Month, and you've met some of the people who are the faces of the ministries that we financially support. What about preparing and leading communion, Irene? Alyssa? Okay, what if you're on the welcome team? I believe this is a really welcoming church. Someone told me this. Many people tell me this. So thanks, welcomers. So many people do so much, so I'm not saying we're not doing anything, but I was convicted. I think that it would be remiss of me not to start talking about this when God seems to be doing things around here. If he's doing things, who are his hands and feet? Who are his arms for a cuddle? When Jesus told his disciples that the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few, could it have been that those workers viewed themselves as volunteers and not as servants? Do we? Do you? Is it good for us to consider, are we servants or volunteers? In a moment, I'm going to ask David and Lillian, would you mind coming and serving communion for us? And can you hold those in your hands? Cam, would you mind coming and celloing? Not volunteering. Are you serving? So David and Lillian, would you like to serve communion for us, please? And as you hold these elements in your hands, can you consider, who do you serve? How do you serve? If you're a volunteer, what would it take for that to change? Let's recommit ourselves this morning through the act of communion to our Lord, whose slaves we are, and in whose service we have voluntarily come. In a few minutes, Cam, after some music and contemplation, I'll pray for each of these elements and we'll take them together. Communion is open to everybody, regardless of your age, your gender, your nationality, your culture, your previous churches, your previous church experience. This is an inclusive act of committing ourselves to the body of Christ and to what Jesus did for us. Thanks, Cam. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for us, to give his life as a ransom for me. Lord, thank you that your body was broken for me, for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed for me, for us. Lord, Lord, help us to remember that we are not volunteers, that we are not part-time, that we give our life once again to serve.